Parshas Kisovei, we would like to look Be'ez Hashem Yisborach at this parsha in particular, obviously through the lens of Chodesh Elul and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yomim Ne'eroim, Aboim Oleinu L'Toivo. We know that this week's parsha, Parshas Kisovei, begins with the parsha of Bikurim. The Torah then moves on into the famous Maimed of Har Grizim and Har Evol, the Brochis and the Klolis, and finally, and this is really the main body of Parshas Kisovei, and that is the lengthy parsha of the Teichocha. So the parsha begins with the mitzvah of Bikurim and ends with the parsha of Teichocha. We would like to suggest and work out together whether there could be a connection between the two. Is there a shaychus between the mitzvah of Bikurim, which for some reason is placed as the introduction to the lengthy parasha of Teichocha? So I believe that there is a connection, a very profound, a very important connection, which will help us, Be'ez Hashem Yisborach, in our avoida of tshuva, which of course is very much in Yonah Deyema at the moment. One of the prime Talmidim of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was Rabbi Itzel Blaser, as we know, Rabbi Itzel Petterberger, and he wrote a famous sefer, amongst others, called the Koich Ve'Oir. And in the Koich Ve'Oir, he has a number of lengthy ma'amorim on the inyan of tshuva. In the third of those ma'amorim, Simon Gimel, he asks the following question. If you look in the sefer, the Novi Yecheskel, the Novi rebukes Klal Yisrael. Yecheskel Anovi rebukes Klal Yisrael, and it seems to be, and Rashi explains this quite clearly, that they did not believe that they could be chayzer b'tshuva. And that's why the Novi was rebuking them. You must be chayzer b'tshuva. And as Rashi explains, that kisvurin, apparently you maintain, sheloi toil lochem tshuva, that tshuva is not going to help. And Rabbi Itzel Blaser asks the very obvious question, which is, why did they think that tshuva wouldn't help? Why were they not ma'amin in the koyach of tshuva? Especially so, and the way he strengthens the question is, we, in our generation, seem to have no problem in believing in the koyach of tshuva. When we're told that Elul and Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, is indeed all about tshuva, none of us seem to have a problem in appreciating that, yes, even though we've lived a life or a year of Averas, but we can turn around, we can go through the Darkei HaTshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mechaper and be Metaher. We don't seem to have a problem in being Ma'amin in the Koyach of Tshuva. So it's rather strange that the Doir of Yecheskel HaNovi, the Doir that lived at the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, were they less ma'aminim than we were? Don't we have a concept of Yiridas HaDoiros? The further through we go down the generations, we seem to be on a lower level of Ruchnius. And here we are, all perfectly confident and perfectly happy to be ma'amin in the Koyach of Tshuva. And the Novi Yecheskel is rebuking his Doir for not being ma'amin in the Koyach of Tshuva. How do we understand? Are we greater ma'aminim? Is the question posed by Rabbi Itzel Blaser. And Rabbi Itzel Blaser introduces us to a very, very fundamental yesod. And he introduces this with the Gemara in Psochim. The Gemara in Psochim says that Klal Yisrael at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf were Ketanei Emunah. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. They were Ketanei Emunah. And they said that even if we believe that we will indeed be able to traverse the Yamsuf and not be killed, but maybe the same will happen to Mitzrayim as well. Who says that the enemy will indeed be vanquished? That's what the Gemara says. What does that mean, this rather strange sounding expression, that they were miketanei emuna, they were minor ma'aminim? Surely either you are a ma'amin or you're not a ma'amin. What does this middle compromise phrase mean when it says they were miketane emuna? What does that mean, miketane emuna? So Reb Itzel tells us, Reb Itzel Blazer says, Yesoid Godel. Emuna has two parts. I believe logically in a particular person, in a particular koyach, because logically it makes sense to me. There is another aspect of emuna, which is when I am ma'amin, even if it does not make sense in the realms of logic. Klal Yisrael were ma'aminim. As long as logic dictated, they were perfectly happy and they were indeed on a very high level of emuna. They believed in the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could they not? They saw all the nisim, they saw the makas, they saw makas b'chayros. So as long as logic dictated that emuna makes sense, indeed they were ma'aminim. But here, all of a sudden, they were being required to be ma'amin in something that did not make sense. Why would it make sense to save Klal Yisrael and to kill the Mitzrayim? After all, halolu oivdei avodah zara, v'halolu oivdei avodah zara. We're no better than the Mitzrayim. So yes, I understand, of course we are ma'aminim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the koil yochel, and he has infinite koyach. Yes, we understand that. But we're mekitane emuna, because we hadn't yet reached a level of being ma'amin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when it doesn't make sense. It didn't seem to be logical to them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save Klal Yisrael and yet kill the Mitzrayim whilst they were both being Oved Avodah Zarah. That's what it means. Of course we believe that we'll be able to traverse the Yam Suf, but perhaps the Mitzrayim will come out the other side and they'll also survive. Why should they be killed? Doesn't make sense logically. So here you see that the highest, the absolute highest level of emuna is to be ma'amin even when logic defies. It doesn't make sense. Within the realms of logic, this doesn't seem to be explicable. Nonetheless, I have emuna. Says Reb Itzel Blazer, the mitzvah of tshuva does not make sense. It's illogical. We all know, widely quoted, widely learned, the opening words of Rabbeinu Yoina in Sha'arei Tshuva, that tshuva is the greatest chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us, this opportunity to come back. Why is it indeed the greatest chesed? Because it doesn't make any sense. It's not alpi midas hadin. Alpi midas hadin, if somebody was over an avera, then surely he deserves to suffer the consequences. No. If you only go through the darkei atshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you. That is something which defies logic. That defies logic. Says Reb Itzel Blazer, and this really is his yesoid. How illogical is tshuva? If we were to ask, how much does tshuva not make sense? And the answer is, it all depends on how much you recognize the gravity of Avera. The more you understand that Avera is very severe, the less tshuva makes sense. If I don't appreciate the gravity, the severity, the stringency of an Avera, well then tshuva can make perfect sense, because after all, what did I do? So I ate a piece of Nevela, so I was Mechalol Shabbos, not so bad. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives me. Doesn't make it so illogical. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive me for something that's not so severe. But the more I recognize the chomer, the gravity of the Avera, then it's inversely proportional. The more I understand about chet, the less tshuva makes sense. The less I will have emuna in tshuva. Says Reb Itzel Blazer, the Doir of Yecheskel lived in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, And they saw Asara Nisim every single day. They saw the almighty Koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They understood what it means, Chet. Whom have we rebelled against? Look at the tremendous gadlus. Look at the roimimus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you measure Chet? How bad is an Avera? The answer is, the greater you appreciate the koyach and the gadlus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greater the rebellion, the more severe the chet. Therefore, the more illogical tshuva becomes. Says Reb Itzel Blaz, if that's the case, we have now answered our question. Are we greater ma'aminim than the doir of Yecheskel Anovi? Do we believe in tshuva more? The answer is no, we understand chet less. We don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in as clear a fashion as they did at the times of Yecheskel HaNovi. We don't see the open miracle, so we don't appreciate the gravity of chet. So who have we rebelled against? We don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an open way, performing Nisim Gluim. We don't see the Gadlus, we don't see the Roimimus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we don't consider the rebellion against him that severe. Memeila we are ma'amin in Koyach HaTshuva. It's not so illogical. Kitane Emunah, as Reb Itzel Blaz explained, there is a concept of I believe, but not if it's illogical. In the times of Yecheskel HaNovi, Emuna in tshuva was a very difficult project. Indeed, it was illogical. Why was it illogical? Because they truly appreciated what chet was. Why did they appreciate what chet was? Because they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, the whole time. Nisim Gluim in the Beis HaMikdash. When they see the Roimimus, they see the Kavod, they see the Gadlus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the severity of chet becomes magnified tenfold, a hundredfold, a thousandfold. So that's why tshuva became more and more illogical. That's why they couldn't believe in the koyach of tshuva. The fact that we in our generation do believe in the koyach of tshuva does not reflect a greater emuna on our part. To the contrary, there's yiridus hadoiros. We're not greater ma'aminim. We just appreciate chet less. We don't really understand what Averas are all about. That is the incredible yesod of Reb Itzel Blaser. I would like to take this yesod of Reb Itzel Blaser and perhaps explain it a little bit differently. Yes, the appreciation of tshuva, the emuna in tshuva clearly is absolutely dependent on how you view chet. If you view chet as very severe, then tshuva becomes almost impossible to believe. But if I don't understand what chet is all about, well then tshuva is not so difficult to appreciate. If you look in the Chovos HaLevavos, in the Shaar HaTshuva, in Perek Beis, he indeed says that the way to be chayzer b'tshuva is to appreciate goydel chetoy, the greatness, the severity of the avera, the gedulas and the greatness of mi shehimra oisoy, the greatness of the koyach that you have rebelled against. But if you look in Perek Gimel, we will see an extra line, and this is Rabbeisai, the yesod that I'd like to share with you tonight. Because in Perek Gimel, the Chovos HaLevavos says, do you know how a person should be chayzer b'tshuva? He should think to himself, min hatoivos, of all the great chesed, ma shekodam loy, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has preempted, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all the years has showered chesed upon me, and what have I done? I've thrown it back, kaviyochu, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face. The Chovos HaLevavos is introducing us to a very critical yesod. If you want to appreciate chet, it's not just about appreciating the gadlus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also about the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more we appreciate the benevolence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by definition, that magnifies the chait. Not just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so kind. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all my years has showered me with chesed, how have I just turned this round? Instead of expressing my appreciation by being an Eved Hashem, instead of being a Makir Toiv, I've been a Koifer Batoiv. That's what the Chovos Avos is teaching us. And therefore, the Yesod that we are learning now is that the gravity of Chait, Rabbi Itzel Blaser told us that the gravity of Chait can be appreciated by being misboinen in the gadlus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we are suggesting, in addition, in light of the Chovos Avos, that the gravity of chait can also be appreciated by being misboinen, not just in the gadlus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also in the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore we can suggest, in the doir of Yechezkel HaNovi, yes, they saw the Asor HaNisim. What did they learn from the Asor HaNisim? Rabbi Itzel Blaser said, the gadlus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But al darkeinu, we can suggest that they saw the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They saw all the great nisim. Doesn't the Ramban famously tell us that when a person is misboinen min ha-nisim ha-gedoylim umafursomim, when I see great open miracles and all of a sudden I realize that I'm surrounded by nisim every single day of my life? Erev avoykev et soharoyim. So by seeing the Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash, they appreciated the Nisim that we are zoicha to b'chol eis. Al nisecho v'al nifloisecho shebechol yom imanu. That's why they couldn't appreciate the koyach of tshuva. How can it be we've been such koyfer batoiv? A lack of appreciation for the tremendous chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not just a lack of appreciation for the gadlus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but a lack of appreciation for the benevolence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that way, we feel so desperately, yes, we need to return, but it's impossible to believe that indeed we can, because our chait has been magnified upon recognition of the tremendous and constant outpouring of chesed on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I remember almost 30 years ago when I was in school, in Hasmonean in high school, I still have ringing in my ears. I heard a shir there from Rabbi Yosef Gerber, Sheyarech Yomim Vishonim, who now lives in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. And I'll never forget the moshel, and I'd like to share it with you. I don't think I can say it over as well as he did. But he came to explain the posuk that in Chutz La'aretz they say on Yomim Noiroim, we all remember from our days in Chutz La'aretz, just before Yishtabach, the Baal Tfilah says, Shir Amalois mi ma'amakim krosicho Hashem. From the depths I call out to you, Hashem. And I'll never forget the very poignant moshel that Dr. Rabbi Yosef Gerber illustrated this posuk with, a phenomenal moshel. And he spoke about Reuven, who was having a very difficult time in business, steeped in debt. And his friend Shimon says, you know, we've been friends for a long while, I'm going to help you out. I know you're unemployed, I know you're in debt, so first things first, I know you have $500,000 in debt, here's a check for $500,000, all your debt has just been cancelled. Secondly, in order to ensure that you don't go into debt once again, I'm offering you a job in my company. How can I thank you? There are no words of thanks. Just wiped out my debt. Not only that, you've given me employment on top of it. How can I possibly appreciate? How can I express my appreciation? It's fine, says Shimon. Don't worry. Come along to my company. I'm going to give you a job. Indeed, Reuven comes to the beautiful plush offices in Shimon's building, and he begins working there. He's given a handsome salary. And on one day, He has reason to go and speak to the boss, his good friend Shimon, and he enters Shimon's office and he sees hanging behind the door is the most exquisite and beautiful coat that he has ever seen in his whole life. And he can only imagine, only begin to imagine, what would it be? What would it feel like to walk around and to wear that coat? But I dare not take it. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to my friend Shimon. On another occasion, he's in the office again and he sees the coat and he thinks to himself, let me just try it on. Obviously, I'm not going to take it. But let me just try it on when Shimon's not looking. And indeed, he does and he feels $1 million. On another occasion, he says, obviously, I'm not going to take it, but let me just try it on and at least just walk around. Can you imagine walking around feeling the king of the castle in this unbelievable coat? And things spiral out of control, and eventually he steals the coat. He steals the coat from Shimon. Shimon, who literally saved his life, who paid off his debt, who gave him employment, and Shimon wonders where the coat is, and he asks all his employees, has anybody seen my coat? It's worth thousands of dollars. No. Reuven, have you seen my coat? Coat? Which coat? What coat? I have no idea what you're talking about. But eventually his conscience catches up with him, and Reuven is sitting at home and thinking, I can't believe what I've done. Shimon saved my life. And that's how I pay him back, by stealing his coat. I'm too embarrassed. I can't even look at him in the face. What am I going to tell him? I was the one who stole the coat. So Reuven, in the dead of night, takes the coat. At 2 o'clock in the morning, he goes to Shimon's house. Shimon has a large, expansive garden, and Reuven digs a pit in the garden. A pit large enough for him to crawl into. And he's hiding there in the pit holding the coat, and he calls out, Shimon, Shimon, Shimon. Shimon, in the middle of the night, hears these voices. What's going on? He goes into the garden. He can't see anybody. And he hears once again this bas coil. Shimon, Shimon. And Shimon sees this big boir, the open pit in his garden. And Reuven is there, too embarrassed even to look at Shimon, and he just lifts up the coat to the edge of the boir and he pushes it up without even being able to look at Shimon in the face, and he says, I was the one who took your coat. I'm too embarrassed even to look at you, but the only way I can give you this coat is from the depths of this pit. Shir amaros mi ma'amakim krosicho Hashem, said Rabbi Yosef Gerber. Mima makim doesn't just mean from the depths of my heart, it means from the deepest pit, from the deepest hole. How can it be that I was being over averas and I wasn't makir toiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I'm too embarrassed, kaviyochol, to look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the face. That's how Rabbi Yosef Shlita was mazbeh shir amalois mima makim krosicho Hashem, from the depths. From the depths, from the deepest hole, from the largest pit. That's why I have to bury myself in shame. And this is the yesod that we are sharing. That in order to be chozer b'tshuva, I have to truly recognize how much I have not been a makir toiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has showered me with chesed, and how have I given it back? Just by doing averas. The koyach of tshuva, the impetus, the stimulus to be chozer b'tshuva is to first and foremost recognize how much I owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is to the extent that I realize how much I really deserve, owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is to that extent that I realize that yes, tshuva is an impossible maybe process to believe in, but I absolutely need to be chozer b'tshuva. And if that's the case, I think we can now be mazbi our parasha, because the tshuva, the yesod of our parasha, is the klolos, the techocha. Realize what happens to you when you're over averas. But how does the parasha begin? The parasha begins with the mitzvah of bikurim. What's bikurim all about? Hakoras hatoiv. when you make your declaration and you bring your fruits to the Beis Hamikdash, says Rashi, she'eincha kofui toivo. Says the Torah, had you only learned the lesson of the mitzvah of Bikurim, you would never have ended up with the Teichacha. All the brachas and the klolos of Har Grizim and Har Eivol, they're all dependent on Bikurim. If you learn the lesson of Bikurim, you'll have brachas. And if you don't learn the lesson of Bikurim, and you're not Makir Toiv, then you'll end up with the Teichacha. That, I believe, is the connection and the Hemshech HaDvorim in our parasha. You know, it always bothered me. On Yom Kippur, I think we would all agree, obviously, the Avodah Sayyim is, of course, Tshuva. Where is that manifest? Obviously, with the whole Al Chait. So why is Al Chait not part of the Shemoneh Esrei? Why is Al Chait tucked away right at the end of davening after Sim Shalom, Elokein Atzor? That's where you say Al Chait. I would have thought it should take central position in the Shemoneh Esrei. You know what the answer is? Al Chait has to follow the last three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. What are the last three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei called? The brachas of Hoidoya. It's precisely after I've said, I've davened Al Chait, and I've said, Al Nisecho Shebechol Yoyim Imonu, Erev Avoyke V'tzoroyim, Moidim Anachnu Loch Al Chait. That's where the Al Chait has to follow. It's Mima'amakim Krasicho Hashem. It's precisely after I've expressed my appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the recognition that every moment that I live is another miracle, that then morphs straight into the Al Chait. The Al Chait is not tucked away as an afterthought, Chas V'Shalom. Of course it's the central Avodas HaYoim, but it comes after I've expressed my recognition, my Akoras HaToiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first stage in Tshuva is the mitzvah of Bikurim. That recognition, melamed she'eincha kofui toiv. Moidim anachnu loch, then move straight into Al Chait. I read that Rabbi Itzel Blauser himself, when he used to give drushes in Chodesh Elul, he used to speak about Chiyuvei HaKoras HaToiv LaKodesh Baruch Hu. Well, I think we've explained now why. Because that is the underlying basis. If a person genuinely wants to feel that I need to be Chayzer B'Tshuva, then the number one stage is Mitzvahs Bikurim. Moidim Anachnu Loch. HaKoras HaToiv. A person who's a Koifa Batoiv doesn't feel the urge to be Chayzer B'Tshuva. Somebody once said to the Chazon Ish, Es kump mir a Mazel Tov, I deserve a Mazel Tov, said the Chazon Ish, Es kump dir Garnish, you don't deserve anything. The more we feel that everything just belongs to us, and we deserve, so Aveira is not so bad. The fact that I'm alive, the fact that I have Parnassa, is of course all my business prowess, and I'm an expert investor, and it's all koichi v'oitzim yodi. No, so I tripped up a few Averas here and there, Beseda, nish gefalach. But when we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mechalkel or Mefarnes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mevorech HaShonim, nothing we have is our own doing, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that magnifies the Chait. That then is the stimulus, I have to be Chayzer B'Tshuva. I realize it's to the extent that I understand the lesson of Bikurim, to the extent that I say Moidim Anachnu Loch, then I realize I have to say Al Chait. And this is of course an Avoida which is Shovel HaKoil. There are always those who the Yetzer Hara says, I'm too busy in Elul, I'm busy running home, and I'm busy running a family, and I have a business to run. Nobody is too busy to express, to be misboinen in how much we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As Mesillas Yesharim writes so beautifully, Ein Lecha Adam, there's not a single person in any position we find ourselves, if you just open your eyes and open your hearts, there's not a single person who doesn't genuinely understand how much he owes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is precisely to the extent that we are Makir Toiv, to the extent that we understand the lesson of the Bikurim, to the extent that we express Moidim Anachnu Loch, I realize only Secho Val Niflei Secho V'Toivei Secho, it's to that extent that yes, we will truly appreciate Chet, but at least we will understand the urge, the importance, the necessity to be Chayzer B'Tshuva. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, indeed in these days, we're now entering the second half of Chodesh Elul, to recognize al kol neshima v'neshima erev avoike v'tzoroi moidim anachnu loch, the lesson of the Bikurim she'ein chakofu toiv, and that will be'ezus Hashem genuinely generate a feeling in us that yes, al chet shechatonu lefonecha, we should all be zoicha be'ezus Hashem to be chayza v'tshuva shleima.
Beige.